KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW in Santa Monica and KCRW.com, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
You listen, if you listen and learn, then you're going to be able to do anything you want in this town.
Everybody thinks show business.
What's with him?
Oh, I'm afraid he's gone Hollywood. Hollywood.
This week on The Business, network TV scheduling turns into a brutal game of musical chairs. We'll talk to the creator of the NBC show Medium, which jumped to CBS at the last minute to grab a seat. But first on the Hollywood News Banter, more infighting at the Screen Actors Guild and the new super agency, WME. It's The Business from KCRW. I'm joined in the studio by the business producer, Matt Holzman.
Well, just when it seemed that the Screen Actors Guild would finally have a theatrical contract with producers, things have gotten ugly again.
How ugly are they?
Well, you know, there's a vote pending right now on a theatrical contract, and militant factions in the guild have been pushing for a no vote, and moderates have been retaliating with claims that the hardliners are, quote-unquote, tricking members and trying to, quote, take our union down. So the rhetoric has gotten ramped up again. It's like this union can never get it together.
And that's been true for a very long time.
It has, and it's never been quite this bad. I mean, it seemed like we were finally on the road to a contract and on to the next cycle of negotiations 3 years down the line when all the unions will be aligned and have some unity and be able to negotiate as a group.
So I think if we look in the crystal ball, we can conclude that this deal will be approved. It will probably be approved reluctantly by a number of people who don't like the deal on new media and feel that actors should get a bigger piece of that pie, but who are nervous about the economy, who maybe didn't work because of the writer's strike, and who really just want to get back to work and earn some money. And it will leave SAG, you know, perhaps more divided than ever. It will not help the guild. But I think the deal will be done.
Well, we'll know for sure in a couple of weeks. The ballots have to be in by June 9th. Elsewhere, we're starting to see serious fallout from the merger of the venerable William Morris Agency and upstart Endeavor into the new WME agency.
Yes, indeed. On the eve of Memorial Day weekend, which is a good time to do things, Jim Wyatt was the head of William Morris, was unseated. He, I think, had thought he might stick around as a kind of presence of some kind, at least some sort of elder at this combined agency. But no, it was not to be. I think there was a feeling that he didn't have a tremendous amount of support inside William Morris, clearly. And why keep him around? Of course, he's getting a big paycheck to go away.
Now, over 100 people have been fired from William Morris, and it looks like more and more that this is almost an Endeavor takeover of the agency.
Yes, it does look a lot like that.
And Ari Emanuel, who is the kind of a vaunted legendary head of Endeavor, is consolidating his power, and it does seem like the new agency is going to really be able to rival CAA in its dominance in Hollywood agentry.
He surely is moving aggressively. And, you know, Hollywood hasn't had a strong man since Mike Ovitz, really, like that. I mean, there used to be always a strong man. There was Lou Wasserman, you know, somebody who everybody was scared of. And I think Ari is making a strong bid to become that person.
And what does that mean if he does?
Well, I don't know. It's a different world now because the agencies, you know, the studios have the whip hand right now because of the economy and the fact that the model is falling apart. And they've clearly decided they're not paying for a lot of things. So even if you aggregate a whole bunch of, you know, stars and supposedly, you know, they want to have the upper crust of talent in the town, and even if they get that, how much can they flex with the studios in a place, a time when major talent is being told, no, you can't have your deal. So that remains to be seen.
Finally, 9 years after they first tied the knot, Time Warner is separating from its troubled AOL internet operation. This is probably a very good thing for Time Warner, but what does it mean for Hollywood?
You know what it could mean for Hollywood? There are people who believe that Time Warner, which has been burdened by problems with its structure, the complicated structure with its cable interest, which has now been resolved, with its business with AOL, which is now resolved, that it is cleaning house and straightening up, and ultimately will make a move to buy NBC Universal. There's a view that GE would be happy to sell NBC Universal, has cast about for an opportunity to do that. The question in this environment being who would buy? And Time Warner has money in the bank and could be the buyer, but...
And it would make sense since they have a studio and they don't have a TV outlet for
it. They have a studio. They don't have a TV network. This would really be about NBC Universal's very desirable cable networks, which include USA and Bravo. But they've had a conversation before, the seriousness of which it depends on who you want to ask. But clearly there was a conversation in the past about this. And many people believe there might yet be another conversation that ends up with a serious deal.
Stay tuned.
Yes, indeed. And that's all the news that's fit for bantering. Coming up next, unscripted drama over a scripted drama. Medium moves to CBS. As the networks announced their fall schedules in the summer of 2006, an offhand remark alluded to major changes in the TV business that were already underway.
Les Moonves, who runs everything, I mean, CBS, Paramount Television, all of that, took particular delight in standing up at Carnegie Hall and after presenting the CBS schedule and also saying, and by the way, we make the only hit NBC has, Medium, and sort of tweaking NBC. And that was sort of a harbinger, in an interesting way, of the dynamic that was set up because suddenly NBC changed its internal mandate.
That's Glenn Gordon Caron, the creator of Medium, the supernatural thriller starring Patricia Arquette. His show is made by CBS, but had been broadcast on NBC since 2005.
Nothing formal was said, but suddenly the imperative at NBC became not so much to simply broadcast successful television shows, but to broadcast successful television shows that were manufactured by Universal, which owned NBC, so that everything would be in-house. And this was not an unusual thing. This was happening at ABC. It was happening at CBS.
Like any network, NBC makes more money airing shows that it also produces. That's one reason why Glenn Caron says his show was treated, in the words of Medium star Patricia Arquette, like a fair-haired stepchild.
They moved us around a lot. They didn't promote us very much. We always sort of came from a standing start, but we always performed for them.
Nevertheless, the events of the last couple of weeks surprised even Glenn Caron, a TV veteran who started out writing for Taxi and who would go on to create Moonlighting. As NBC put together its fall schedule a few weeks ago, Medium went through a stomach-churning roller coaster ride of negotiations. That drama reveals changes in the TV business that are determining what shows you'll be seeing on TV this fall. As the time drew near for NBC to announce its schedule to advertisers at the upfronts in New York, NBC executives made a congratulatory call. The network was renewing Medium, but only for 13 episodes. That was short of a full 22-episode season, as the contract required. Before that issue was addressed, Caron says the network apparently changed its mind. It said it might not pick up the show at all. Then, he says, NBC changed its mind again and said it would pick up 13 episodes, but only with a reduced budget. Sources say an ugly behind-the-scenes battle ensued, with threats exchanged between agent Ari Emanuel and NBC executives. Finally, just hours before NBC was unveiling its schedule, Glenn Caron got a call from Angela Bromstead, the network's head of scripted programming.
Saying, Glenn, this, you know, I'm calling you because I want you to know we're not going to announce your show. We couldn't make it work. And all that sort of thing. This was fairly early. I want to say like 6:45 in the morning.
Ow. I don't want to hear from anybody at that hour, much less with that kind of news.
And I wasn't completely surprised.
Right. Obviously, it had been a difficult struggle.
But I called David Staff, who actually runs CBS Paramount Television, to tell him that I'd received that call.
At 6:45?
Yeah, which was 9:45 in New York, which is where they were.
Okay.
And I believe there was some language in the agreement that made it impossible for CBS to pick up the show until 24 hours after NBC had...
Officially walked away.
So I believe that by communicating to David that I had been communicated to by Angela that the show was not officially on the NBC schedule, that put the show in play officially for CBS to pick up.
So 24 hours pass and they call up and say, congratulations.
If only it had worked that way. Actually, what happened was, several hours later, I'm at Endeavor meeting on something complete, having nothing to do with this, and my phone rings and it's David Staff and he says, is there any possibility that you and Patricia Arquette could get on a plane and fly to New York?
Okay, so their presentation was Wednesday afternoon, and he's calling you when?
Tuesday.
At
11 o'clock in the morning California time, 2 o'clock in the afternoon New York time.
Mm-hmm.
And very few seats on planes at that point. But in fact, Patricia and I got on a plane at 10:45 that night,
wow,
flew all night to New York. And at that point, we still had not officially been told.
Right, but you kind of knew.
Well, yeah, you have a sense, you know, that if people are buying hotel rooms and airplane tickets, that there's something afoot. And I was not certain that there was a time slot or that there was a 22-episode order until we got to New York, and really shortly before Carnegie Hall. And I, at Carnegie Hall, I sat next to Nancy.
So you sat next to Nancy Tellum,
right,
from CBS.
From CBS at the Carnegie Hall presentation. And she kept apologizing because, you know, they hadn't had a chance to put together a huge sort of filmic fanfare.
Right.
But what they did was really – I was overwhelmed by the whole thing, you know.
Well, tell us what they did.
Well, what they did was they announced that Medium is moving from NBC to CBS, that we're going to be on Friday nights at 9 o'clock, that they've ordered 22 episodes. And – Les, Nancy, Nina, all made
all
it,
the CBS brass.
All the CBS brass made it clear to us that they were thrilled to have us.
Right. It was one, it was certainly one of the big surprises of the upfronts overall.
Yeah. I mean, my head was spinning. I know Patricia's head was spinning.
So CBS now has ordered a full season of your show, mm-hmm, and they're going to pair this with The Ghost Whisperer. And what's... What's strange is, there are a couple of strange things. First of all, CBS issues a press release basically bagging on NBC for dropping your show, and it has a bunch of lower-rated shows. I listed them, Southland, mm-hmm, and right, several others.
Right.
And what prompted that?
I think what prompted that was a comment that Ben Silverman made, and Ben's a friend.
Ben Silverman, the co-chairman of NBC.
The co-chairman of NBC was, upon announcing their schedule, I think was asked by someone in the press to defend why isn't Medium part of the schedule.
Right.
And Ben said, well, something to the effect of Medium's old and skews old and
aging,
we didn't get a
let me quote, an aging franchise without a single fan letter.
By the way, I haven't gotten a fan letter in 10 years. I mean, people don't send fan letters anymore. They blog, they email. But it was a veiled reference to clearly they had made a choice and
they went with Chuck.
They went with Chuck. And Chuck had mobilized a really vigorous campaign on the net to impress NBC.
And one element of that was the Subway deal that
right,
we're going to see a lot of Subway sandwiches on Chuck.
Right.
Did you ever toy with the idea of what could Patricia Arquette use during Medium to get us that kind of sponsorship? Because that's a big thing that
I'm
Ben
proud
Silverman...
to say I never toyed with that idea. No, not once, not ever.
You're not into that product integration to that level?
I don't, and I'd be disingenuous if I said I really believe that that had any effect on their decision making either.
You don't believe it?
No, I don't believe that. But that's
so. Well, I'm really interested in that. Why don't you believe that?
Because I know that there were other business considerations at work. That they do, again, they do business with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is a studio, a rather unique studio in the television universe because it's not aligned with any particular network.
Right.
And Chuck is a very good show, but it's also a show that they've tried to launch vigorously twice.
Right.
They've spent an enormous amount of money, and twice they've been unable to wrangle an audience for it. So one has to stop and say, okay, now why would you elect to do that a third time?
And you're suggesting
is it simply
that...
because people are eating Subway sandwiches?
You're saying it has to do with this whole skein of things they have going on with Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I don't know what other shows there are. I mean, you probably know better than I do right now.
Well, there are other shows. Southland is a show from Warner Brothers. ER was a show from Warner Brothers. There were a number of pilots that Warner's made for NBC this past year. Some of them did not work out and carried very, very heavy penalties that were attached to those.
Penalties in the event that they were not picked
up. In the event that they were not picked
NBC
up.
NBC had to pay.
Had to pay.
So they could barter away and say, we'll do this and you
One
do
could
that.
Imagine a scenario where that might happen.
Now, it's strangely, NBC apparently was looking at a completely reverse situation where if Ghost Whisperer had been canceled at CBS, they would have picked it up and paired it with your show.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that
either.
That
was the case.
I don't believe what you read, huh?
I believe the people at Ghost Whisperer, like a lot of people who make television shows, were concerned that they might not be coming back this year. And so they picked up the phone and called all the networks, NBC, ABC, Fox, to see if there might be an appetite for the show there.
Right.
I think that's
that happened with the New Adventures of Old Christine.
Yeah,
they got it renewed by getting an offer from ABC.
I think that's about as intense as the thinking got. And then an opportunity emerged where it made sense for people to extrapolate that there might have been a Ghost Whisperer Medium pairing at NBC, but I don't think it was a real event or even open for discussion.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Glenn Gordon Caron, the creator of the supernatural thriller Medium, starring Patricia Arquette. After 5 seasons on NBC, the show will move to CBS this fall. There was a lot of drama surrounding the move, and it wasn't pretty.
So were you surprised the way this worked and how the tone was? And you know, it was that a surprise to you?
No.
You said, is it because the business is just getting so difficult that this kind of sniping is inevitable and this kind of, you know, pressing during the negotiation and then sniping at the outcome?
I think it is an inevitable product of a world in which the old parameters don't seem to apply. We used to set out to make the best television shows we could, mindful of the fact that we were working for broadcasters, and so the trick was to get as many people in the tent as possible. For some reason, that's no longer – those parameters can be perverted or bent or skewed based on the needs of the particular person running the particular operation. And the place – I mean, for me, the place I saw this most profoundly was – at NBC, where, I mean, Ben very publicly said, hey, I'm not managing for ratings anymore. I'm managing for margins. Well, as someone who's a storyteller and who makes...
Again, it was Ben Silverman. The co-chairman of NBC.
Right. I have nothing against Ben, but that's... As a storyteller, I don't know how to tell a story for a margin. All I can do is try and be the most effective dramatist I can be.
Do you think it's actually possible that they are... When they say managing for margins, we're talking about... putting on shows like My Own Worst Enemy, where there's a car deal and therefore they get money from advertisers and the ratings are supposed to be secondary. And we saw how well that worked out. Can you really manage for margins?
I think more emblematic of that is the decision to strip Jay Leno 5 nights a week at 10 o'clock, where the calculus is, look how little we can lose, mm-hmm. not how much we can gain.
Right.
And when you look at I'm not casting a judgment here, but when you contrast that with, say, Leslie Moonves, who is really from that other school.
He's old school TV.
Which I don't think is a bad thing, which is to say, I know if I make good shows and I know if I leave them on the air in a consistent way, which is something NBC finds impossible. If you know that every Monday night at 10 o'clock CSI Miami is going to be there, there's a likelihood that at some point you might even sample CSI Miami, and I believe if you sample it, you might like it and then become part of that viewer base. That's his philosophy, and they are the number one network. And they weren't always the number one network. I mean, it's not that long ago that Les came there, and frankly, and the place was in shambles, and he built it night by night by night. So I think – and I don't mean to speak for him, but I think he looks at the capriciousness – with which the other guy programs and treats some of these shows and finds it puzzling at a minimum and infuriating at a maximum.
Well, now, I'll just pause on NBC for a second. Greg Garcia, I think you probably read the quote, My Name is Earl, his show was canceled.
Yes.
He told the LA Times that he wasn't upset at being thrown overboard on the Titanic or something to that effect.
Right.
Do you share that feeling?
I'm jealous of the line. I wish
line.
I had written it. But it's complicated because I genuinely like there are a lot of people at NBC that I like a lot. And, you know, having said that, they do seem to be in this kind of extraordinary chaos and they don't seem terribly interested in getting out of it because they keep replicating the things that got them there. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20 and I'm not a programmer. That's not my job. But I won't lie to you. The honeymoon at CBS has been fantastic.
Coming up next, more with the creator of Medium about the changing TV business. You're listening to The Business from KCRW. The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. It used to be that a TV network simply tried to find the best shows that would attract the biggest audience. These days, the calculation is much more complicated. One of the biggest factors is who owns the show. For many years, networks weren't allowed to own the shows that were on their air. That changed in 1993 when the government abolished the Financial Interest and Syndication Rules, known as FinCEN. The impact of that change was clear at the TV upfronts a couple of weeks ago. A number of shows that might have been renewed were canceled, primarily because the network that aired them didn't own them. Medium, the supernatural thriller starring Patricia Arquette, was caught in those crosshairs at NBC. But in a surprise move, CBS, which not coincidentally owns the show, gave Medium a place on its fall schedule at the last minute. We're talking with veteran TV producer Glenn Gordon Caron, who created the program. Is something lost when the networks are generating so much of their own shows?
It used to be that the risk was shared. The person who made the show took some risk. The person who broadcast the show took some risk. Now, in this world of vertical integration, the person who broadcast the show is often the person making the show, and so the risk is double. When you launch a show like Heroes, which NBC did to great fanfare, enormous success, your expectation is, okay, this is going to run 5, 6, 7 years. It's going to create a library of shows that we can then sell for decades to come in a multitude of nations, nations that right now perhaps aren't even buying American television, et cetera, et cetera. And that's great until in the second or third year, you're staring at Heroes and Heroes is not as successful as it was in year one.
Right.
And now you have to make a difficult choice. You say, do I continue to finance this so I create the volume necessary to get to where we can sell this thing, or do I cut my losses?
Right.
In the old days, the network would say, well, I'm out of here. I'm not in this for the long haul. I'm in this, again, to get as many people in the tent as possible so that advertisers have an environment in which they can sell products. Now that decision has become much more complicated.
So a marginal show could live on despite its marginality.
And take the place
of a good show
that would have been occupied by a new show. Let's put aside whether it's good or not.
Okay.
But the churn that's created in television is suddenly slowed.
Right.
Now you've got a lot of capital tied up in manufacturing television shows, something you didn't do 10 years ago. And that's where an idea like Jay Leno at 10 o'clock five nights a week is born, because to make Jay Leno work, you can do that for a fifth of the cost of making dramatic programming. That's very appealing if you're a big corporation like NBC. You say, hey, I can cut my – however, if you're the guy who owns the television station in Rochester, New York, and where you make your money is selling advertising on the 11 o'clock
news. Right, and that's your lead-in. Right.
And that's your lead-in. And most people think it's probably going to be the lowest – among the lowest rated lead-ins among the major networks.
Sure.
It's not a great money-making proposition for you. So the whole chain that used to create this thing called network broadcast television has changed. This is going to be a fascinating year. You know, A, if it works, it's going to change everything.
Of course.
B, if it, as I suspect, it only works
not
for the network.
Well, right.
But not for the viewer.
Right.
And not necessarily for all the affiliates. Then we're going to see another dynamic at work. And that's going to be fascinating.
The rules that prevented networks from owning all these shows, they were abolished outright in 93. Mm-hmm. It's taken quite a while. Why is there this lag between that rule change and now, when suddenly it seems like you can barely get a show on the air unless you're owned by the network?
If you recall, I mean, originally Universal didn't own NBC. NBC
right.
didn't have a studio per se. So it's right. taken a long time for all the stars to line up.
Right.
You know, likewise, Paramount didn't own CBS or CBS didn't own Paramount. In fact, there was no connection between those organizations. It took Viacom buying CBS. They're linking up with Paramount. There were a bunch of dominoes.
Right. The consolidation took time.
All this vertical integration took time to happen.
Now, last week, your show, Medium, actually beat the competition on CBS, which was, I guess, partly was CSI Miami.
And, CSI Miami was running a rerun.
Right.
We were running a brand new episode.
Right.
ABC was running a new show. It was very nice to be first in the time period, particularly since we didn't have what you would call a muscular lead-in. We had 2 hours of Dateline prior to us. Yeah, you know, I mean, we've been saying for years to NBC, if you would put a little effort into this, this show can really reap some rewards for you. But, you know, it's their air to do with as they choose. And you can only stomp your feet so much and say, hey, can't we get more promotion? Can't we? I mean, there are so many. For instance, here's something that people don't think about. CBS owns a bunch of allied companies. They own an outdoor billboard company. They own radio stations. All of these are places where you can promote television shows. NBC doesn't own billboard companies, does not own radio stations. So when you say to NBC, help me promote my show, they say, well, here's what we can do. We can run commercials on our air, but right now nobody's watching our air.
Right. Sadly, no one is watching our shows.
And right. You say, well, could we take out some magazine ads? And they say, well, that would cost money, real money, money we would have to pay out. Now, conversely, CBS would say, yes, but NBC has a lot of really vigorous cable outlets that they can advertise on. They own Bravo. They own Sci-Fi.
USA Network.
They own USA. Then it becomes a culture question. How comfortable are you running promos for NBC television shows on USA? And is the quid pro quo that you run promos for USA shows on NBC? You know, and all those questions are being sorted out over time as we sort of march through this new universe where we have 300 channels as opposed to, you know.
So Endeavor is mm-hmm. representing a lot of different television shows.
Right.
And I presume going through this merger with William Morris, even more television shows.
One would assume.
But does that worry you that this agency might be playing a little bit of barter with your property?
No, it's never. I mean, it's always been that way. You trade, to some extent, power. You know, power comes in numbers. You know, we represent all these different artists. And you understand on some level that while hopefully they're representing your best interest, they're also representing the best interest of other people. I mean, I know that Peter Berg, who's a terrific storyteller, had a show, a pilot at NBC that ultimately was picked up. I have to believe at some point, if you have Ben Silverman or Jeff Zucker on the phone and you represent Peter Berg and you represent Glenn Caron.
Which is the case with Ari Emanuel.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you? Okay, listen, I need to talk to you about Peter now. I'm sorry,
the
Ari
Uber
Emanuel.
Agent,
the Uber agent, right, the maestro. It's all going to be part of the same phone call. It's naive to assume that it's not.
And you just have to hope that you're not the one, the stepchild again.
Yeah, no, I mean, a more interesting case is the case of Studio 60 a couple of years earlier, which Ari represents Aaron Sorkin. At the end of the day when the smoke cleared, Studio 60 had the 10 o'clock at Monday our slot. Is it fair for me to say, hey, you represented Aaron at the expense of representing me? There's certainly a case to be made for that, but there were also extenuating circumstances. Warner Brothers had a contract with NBC that allowed them to have a say in the time slot. Our contract didn't provide for that. I mean, it's much more nuanced and complex than
but
simply.
But if it's you and your show, you don't call up Ari Emanuel and say, "Well, how could you let this happen?"
You certainly
you've got
call
a
up and say, "What happened?
Right?
How are you going to protect me? What happens going forward?" And by the way, I mean, here's one of the great postscripts. Studio 60, gone. I'm still here with Medium. I mean, and particularly in this last group of negotiations, I mean, I know he was one of the people who said, I believe the show has value to more than one network and that ultimately we're going to prevail.
CBS owns you.
And right.
There you go.
There you go.
Glenn Gordon Caron is the creator of Medium. The hour-long supernatural thriller starring Patricia Arquette will move from NBC to CBS this fall. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
And that's The Business. If you have any questions or comments about the show, write us at thebusiness@kcrw.org. You can also listen to this or any past program, comment about the show, and engage with other listeners at kcrw.com/thebusiness. You can listen to our podcast, share it with a friend, or embed it on your blog with the click of a button from our new media player at kcrw.com. And you can always subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Matt Holzman produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Warna. Our associate producer is Darby Maloney. Our theme music mashup was designed by beat architect Jason Grohman. The Business is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica. I'm Kim Masters, and we'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.